Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. My name's Rob Seltzer, and much like the Palace buying striker under Roy Hodgson, there's no point to this, but we'll do it anyway. Joining me today is Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
I'm good. I'm noticing I'm the only one without some fancy headset, so off the JB Hi-Fi in the morning and purchasing.
That's it, mate. You've got to move with the times, working from home for 16 years, apparently. Marky Mark, for some reason, you have a headset, even though you work on the tools, but how are you up in Brisbane?
I'm good. Not in the ute for this one. I'm actually at home and, loving life, mate. Can't complain up here. All is well. We had our brief lockdown a few weeks ago and we're able-bodied and can do all things we like after dark and... hoping our Melbourne crew and Ned might be able to follow suit.
Yeah, well, when you're after dark, I assume you're straight back into those good, high end neighbourhoods for you to carry on your evening job of cat burglar. Ned, lockdown Melbourne, how are you, mate?
Well, I'm good, and it was just a fun one. This little 5-dayer. Quite nice, those ones. You just sort of sit there and go, don't have to go into work for a couple of days. And, just sit around and work from home and, just nailed the quaddy at Sandown. Obviously putting my working at home to good use. And, that's pretty much the advantages of staying home. You can become a degenerate gambler.
Well, I've just started to learn how to trade Bitcoin, so that's an awful slippery slope I found myself on. All right, look, as Mark pointed out in our pre-waffle, this is our first pod of the year. So we have played, Palace have played since we last podded, Villa away, 3-0 defeat. Leicester at home, 1-1 draw. That's Leicester beating, but 1-1 draw. Sheffield United at home, 2-0 win. Wolves away in the cup, 1-0 defeat. Arsenal at home. Away, a 0-0 draw. Man City away, a close 4-0 defeat. West Ham at home, a 3-2 defeat. Wolves at home, 1-0 win. Newcastle away, 2-1 win. Leeds away, 2-0 defeat. And most recently, Burnley, aka Brazil, 3-0 defeat. So, quite a mixed bag in there. I want to start at Dave, how are you feeling after those results / performances? Now, a lot of people say they don't even care about the wins anymore because they're boring too. Are you in that camp or are you like, wins are wins, we've got to celebrate them? How are you feeling after that run of results?
Mate, I'll be honest, I can't even remember half of them. That's how bad they were.
Don't blame
me. All I'll say is that I'm very thankful that Sheffield United, Fulham and West Brom are in the league. We're going to go a whole pod and we're not going to mention the gaffer and we're going to stick to that. All I'm going to say is the performances haven't been great. A win's a win, yes. They're surprising when they come at the moment, but still, you take them. All you ask for is just a little bit of something in there to take home with you. And we're not really seeing it. I think the tweet that was put out by the Homesdale Fanatics overnight pretty much summed it up. It's not about calling for a manager's head. It's not about saying this player's shit or that player's shit. It's about saying that the club is about some passion. Where's our vision? Where's our go forward? Where is it? Let's get it happening. And I think, I know Ned's got his opinions and we've got to respect everyone's opinions because that's how...
No, we don't. Ned's opinions are all horribly wrong, but carry on, Dale.
That's how we function as a society, right? But, I think there's an increasing number of people who are starting to not be happy with what they're seeing on a weekly basis out of Crystal Palace at the moment.
I would agree with that final sentiment wholeheartedly, and I'll voice my opinions. And I'm going to try so hard to not say talk about the game. I honestly am fed up, but I can't promise anything. Mark, let's go to you up in Brisbane. How have you felt after I can't even bother to go through the 1,000 games we've just played since our last pod?
Not great, if I'm honest. You mentioned those results since our last pod, and a bit of a mixed bag, you know, in those 10 games, 8 goals scored, 18 conceded, which is a worry. You know, that's a goal difference of minus 10 just in those 10 games. You know, the last 2 games, conceded 5, scored 0. Even the wins we've had haven't really put a lot of pep in the step, which is a worry, you know. Look at Leeds a lot this year, and yeah, they're getting some dumpings, but geez, they're playing exciting footy, aren't they? And they're turning heads everywhere they go, and then, you know, regardless of their results, they turn up next week and they go again, and they put in a shift, and just not getting that from Palace, you know. A couple of score lines were flattering as well. The 3-2 to West Ham, you know, that should have been 4-2 to Antonio alone. I don't know how many missed that night. You know, that could have easily been, you know, 6-7-8-0 if they all went in. Unconvincing, you know, in win, loss or draw, really. And then, you know, we get a bit of a change up in formation. Some of those ideas seem a bit wacky, and then it was fine when we got it over the line, and then when it didn't, you know, the usual drum started banging for the not mentioned gaffer's head. And I think there's got to be some change, or at least movements towards change. Otherwise, you know, we're just circling around the plug hole, and eventually we're gonna go down. We're not going to get gifted with a Sheffield United, a Fulham, or a West Brom that are tracking worse than us. That's not going to keep happening.
I agree. All right, go on. Well, how are you seeing it, Ned?
Look, I think when you sort of read out all those results, I was pleasantly surprised by how not quite shit they were based on what we've seen. But I think, in terms of, so just to go to one of the points that Dale was talking about in terms of people not being able to see a vision in us going forward, I think the what we've got at the moment is a group of players on the pitch who are surviving and funding what we're doing off the pitch. So that movement going forward is the Category 1 Academy, the new stand that we're looking at. So all that sort of stuff is where that comes in. And I know I've sort of gotten a little bit sidetracked there because the football's not super entertaining, which is probably the understatement of the day. But I think, you know, the results are still trickling over the line. In terms of what we need. You say that we're not going to get lucky enough to have a Sheffield United, Fulham and West Brom in the league. But you got to remember that we've also got 4 other teams below us as well. And we've got 29 points. If we'd beaten Burnley, Brazil. If we'd beaten Brazil, we would have ended up with our best points tally to that stage, best Premier League points tally to that stage of the season ever. Which I know it doesn't feel like it, but from that perspective, you sort of got to look at it and go, well, results-wise, it's not horrendous. Football-wise, okay, that's not good. But it is allowing us to stay in the league, and it is allowing us to spend money on all of these other things that we can use to cement ourselves as a Premier League club when Roy retires and when we do get someone in and we do go through this rebuild. At the moment, there's no point starting to try and teach Scott Dan and Gary Cahill how to play a different brand of football. You know, they've got a combined age that's nearly as high as Roy's. There's no point teaching him a new style of football now. That's going to come when you get those new players come in, which hopefully will be in the summer. We sort of started to see it at the end of last year when you got in, you know, the likes of Eze, Ferguson, who we haven't seen, but those sorts of signings that we're looking at, if we can get another 3 or 4 of those, then you can start adjusting the football. But for now, you're trying to teach an old dog new tricks. It's a very old dog. and there's some very new tricks.
I hear where you're coming from with the guys that, and I think I've said it many a time, any manager at Palace has been given to stay in the Premier League, and obviously we've done that. You say, you know, we've been trying to teach an old dog new tricks, but we just come with nothing different. So look, I had the same stats as Mark about the goals for and against over the past 8 games. I mean, the thing that's glaring to me is if we look at Leeds, let's take Leeds. Shocking at defending set pieces and give up multiple chances because that's how they play. They're just wide open. That's why we beat them 4-1 at our place, because of how wide open they were. They kept a clean sheet comfortably against us. Comfortably. The only chance we really should have scored is when Batshuayi pulled the ball back to Eze and he put it over. Then we take Burnley at home. Burnley has scored 14 goals all season. They've then wrapped up. They were 2-0 up in 10 minutes and scored a third. And the only reason I turned off after the third, but apparently we bossed the last 10 minutes of it because I just took the foot off the pedal. I didn't even watch it. And that's everything. I've started turning off games. Like, I'm not saying I'm a super fan or anything like that, but since I've come to Australia, because as soon as we got to the Premier League, we can watch every single game nigh on. I reckon I missed about 6. And the only ones I have mixed is because Optus didn't have the rights to every single Palace game, so I just watched the highlights. I'm losing interest. And I'll tell you this much right now, that if he does get another year, I'm probably not going to watch anymore. And having read, I know Twitter is pretty toxic, but a lot of people feel that way.
Can we go back a sec? Did you just say something negative about Twitter?
Yeah, but it's still the best.
Did that just happen?
Holy grail.
Jeepers. That's like me calling for Roy to go. That's just a non-existent thing.
I can now say Roy Ned said it first. But it's just no one's interested in watching Palace anymore. Like, the fans have completely lost faith. I mean, the players, it's 4-4-2. That's what we're playing. There's no change up. There's nothing. We did that 4-2-3-1 for the first half against Wolves, and we changed it back to 4-4-2. There's no old dog new trick. It's like, just change something. And we're going to come to players and tactics in a second. But we need to pick up points. And Dale's right. We're lucky that we do pick up the result. Roy, that just happens. Wolf is the reason that we pick up those results, I would say, rather than anyone else. And yes, we have got there. No one knows how we've got these 29 points. And I will not take that. That's a fact. But it's boring. It is so, so boring. I'm absolutely delighted to come back from 1-0 down against Newcastle. Absolutely. It was fantastic to see. But we have played, off the top of my head, I think 7 or 8 games where we might as well not turned up, including last Saturday, with the last 2 games, Leeds and Burnley. There's no fight. Players don't. There's no nothing. No players aren't even running around. I mean, what's the point in, you know, signing strikers and not playing them? It's just, I think it's a pretty bad place to be at the moment. And you say, Ned, about the main stand. Yes, we'd love to see something happen there, but nothing's happened. It's been spoken about, this mythical main stand upgrade, but nothing's happened. Category 1 has happened, and yes, it's been built. That is fantastic, and we need that for the future. But I just think that, because the football we play, we can't be conceding the amount of goals we concede. If we're going to play this style of football, we need to be Tony Pulis winning 1-0. Not being beaten 2-0, 4-3-0. As Mark said, we were lucky to concede 3 against West Ham. If they scored 6, it wouldn't have flattered them. They'd have deserved 6. Villa. Yeah,
I think that's...
Should have been 5 or 6 as well. And that's a week after getting stuffed 7-0 by Liverpool. We should have had a goal difference of about minus 13. And against Villa, they had 10 men. It's appalling. There is no sugarcoating it, I'm afraid. It's not good. And good news is Brighton next, which is, everyone must be looking forward to that one. Yes, I'll cut you off there. What are you going to say?
No, as you say, I think that is probably the most disappointing part about it all, is the fact that if that is what we're set up to do, obviously, as I said, we're getting the results that are putting us where we probably are in terms of as a club. But I think that, the disappointing part in terms of having that identity is, I think at the start of the season, Roy sort of, you know, tried to go, oh, well, you know, we're defensive, but we didn't score enough goals. People wanted us to score more goals. And he just didn't know what to do and he didn't know how to do it. But he tried, which is why then we sort of started scoring a few more goals. But the defence has just not slightly dropped off. It's just dropped off a cliff.
You've got to say that's a huge problem. That
absolutely.
Someone who is coached, and again, we're not doing Roy out, but someone who is coached for however many years can either get the defence right and the attack wrong, or the attack better and the defence wrong.
Well, he's got the attack better. The goals, the number of goals that we've scored compared to the number of goals we scored last year.
That's my point.
I mean, we've already pretty much hit what we were at last year.
Yeah, you can't get both. So no. I'm not saying that we should be now winning every game 3-0, but what I would expect to see is a little bit more solidity at both ends of the park. And I've put it in the WhatsApp group. The ability of strikers to come to Palace and be shit under Roy has been amazing. So I will miss some strikers here, but Benteke scored 17 first season. De Boer comes in for a little bit, and obviously that means nothing. Then Roy comes in and his form's gone off the cliff. Batshuayi has had two spells. I mean, the guy, I'm going to say it, he looks worse than Benteke. At least Benteke knows where your sideline is. Who else have we had up front? Sorlot? Drury's.
I think the thing is, other than Benteke, Dale, so Benteke obviously had a proven record before, and then he came to us. I don't think any of the other strikers that have come through the ranks have really been all that shit hot to start with. It hasn't helped having it.
So they haven't even shown us a glimpse, though, of an ability. And we've all said it. We've all said it. It doesn't matter if you're how good you are, they don't get the service.
Yeah.
Where's the service? And I know we're really going to tactics. So let's go straight on to tactics. Let's say stuff like,
okay,
you know, should Ayew be playing on the right wing? No. Yeah, I appreciate that Wilf might be out, but if Wilf's out and you're playing the same formation, why is there not a straight swap of players? Why are we trying to crowbar people in? It's two of us in here have got kids, right? And we can sit there and watch our kids try and put a square peg in a round hole all day long and go, what the hell is wrong with you? Come on, it's obvious. I feel like it's the same sometimes with Palace. But then you do things like go 4-2-3-1 and you think to yourself, hurrah, we cracked it. And then you switch back. And it just is infuriating. It just, no football manager, no professional, but we sit there and we watch it and they must watch the same thing as us. And if Eagles see it shit, why can't they?
Absolutely. Nail on head down. Let's move into tactics, as you said, tactics and players and the people that get the players again picked. And I want to start on with Ned. I'll start with you with the comment about Guaita in just a second. But as Dale said, I don't think the 4-4-2 is ever working because every single team just flood puts an extra midfielder in there and we're completely nullified. Look at West Ham against us. I mean, Souček and Rice ran the game and Benrahma just stood in one place and was never picked up because, you know, poor Milivojevic and I think it was McCarthy or MacArthur that game would just run ragged because there was an extra body in there. The players we have now with Wilf out, we have to play 4-2-3-1. Ayew's not a right winger or left winger, but he can play if he has to because he's been absolute poo this season. But he can play in that kind of wide left attacking role. Then you have Eze in the middle and you have Townsend on the right. Though all those three players will be playing in positions that they can do. Townsend and Ayew have the work rate to go up and down, but they're not wingers. You put him there. You have Eze in that hole floating and you have Gyro, and if it has to be Luka because he's undroppable, then you have Luka there. But he doesn't do it. As Dale said, it's square peg around. It's fucking Patrick Van Aanholt. Like, what is that shite? You have Patrick Van Aanholt playing left wing and he decides that he's up Mesut Ozil and he's going to have a free row anyway against Leeds and ends up on the right wing half the game. Well, half the first half. It doesn't, like, And that's what's worrying. So, but this would, and Mark and Ned, please feel free when we come to talk about the tactics as well. But let's talk about like some players that could get that pick. That I'm going to defend Guaita in a second, but Ned, you think Guaita is a bit of a liability or maybe a weak link at the moment?
Well, I just think in terms of, so obviously everyone loves Guaita because he pulls off some of the saves that the bloke pulls off and the situations that we end up in, and he just, you know, makes some sort of hand magic happen and the ball doesn't go in the goal, which is fantastic. And from a highlights reel, it looks brilliant. But I just sort of, the more I look at him, the more you sort of sit there and go, that's the style of goalkeeper that he is, just invites that extra pressure that we're talking about. Obviously, being over here, we have Optus Sport, which means that you can watch every Premier League game you want, which me having very little life means that I do. So I've been watching quite a lot of Aston Villa's games, and there's two... obviously, they've gone from last year being absolutely awful to, you know, this very, very impressive outfit. And there's two really obvious reasons for that. Obviously, one's Ollie Watkins banging a bunch of goals up top. But I think even more important is Emi Martinez, because you watch their games and the ball comes into the box and he catches it and that's it. Attack over. All done. Ball comes into our box. Guaita stands on his line. It's like he's got the new penalty rule sort of just drilled into his head so hard that he doesn't realise he's allowed to come off it for, you know, in live play. And you get players that can go and attack the ball, and the number of goals that we've conceded from headers inside the 6-yard box that he just can't save. But you go, you need to sort of be able to come out and do something about that. Like the Burnley, the first two goals for Burnley, ball comes into the box, the two centre backs waited for Guaita to come and get it, and then realised he wasn't coming, and both of them went, oh shit, what do we do now? Ran into each other, and the Burnley bloke turns around and goes, well, thanks for the Christmas present. Every corner that we concede, you see every opposition player that's over 6 foot goes and stands inside the 6-yard box and they just drop a ball on Guaita's head. If you look at the top keepers in the league, any ball that is in that 6-yard box, they just catch. Guaita, at best, will give it one of his fairly weak one-handed flappy punches, which just means that the ball drops and we're under pressure again. So where Guaita will make that world-class save, it just gets to a point where he makes a world-class save and then someone follows it up. Or the ball will come in and rather than catching it, he'll hit it away and then we're under pressure again. So you sort of sit there and you go, where a goalkeeper that could command his area a bit better takes one half chance and stops it, game over, you can go back up the other end and keep the ball. Guaita will turn that one half chance into three or four half chances just by the fact that it's going to come out and it's going to drop to ground. And you're sort of sitting there going, it was okay to start with because, you know, people hadn't picked up on it. But, I mean, you look at it now and it's just most of the goals that we concede a lot of goals from set pieces and we concede a lot of goals from crosses that you sort of sit there and go, if he was more proactive, and I know this is the... You know, is the Roy of goalkeeping in terms of he's dependable. But if he was a little bit more proactive, he could be really, really good. And it would just help us so much. And you can see the defenders starting to go.
If we could find a pod from about, must have been first or second pod after he signed, I have no doubt that myself and Ned called this out back then. About how he looks flappy and he looks a bit dodgy, makes a good shot stopper, but not sure in the rest of it. And if almost to the words, we said, if Hennessy had done what he had done, you'd be getting crucified. So
absolutely.
Just a note there, because you don't really ever find it, but there you go.
I think the difference there, though, is that Hennessy would have come flapping at the cross and then he would have pulled off the save afterwards.
He would, but I'm just saying, Ned.
But yes.
I'm saying you called it. So credit where it's due.
I'll come back to. I understand your points, and I'll have. But I want to get Mark a crack as well. So, I mean, we're talking Vinny G. I mean, you agree with Ned and Dale, or are we going to be like the Sacco brothers again?
Is this in relation to Vinny or just our tactics or squad or?
Go both. Go tactics. You haven't had to go on tactics as well, so go yeah. tactics. Vinny G.
I think we're missing Jeffrey Schlupp a lot lately. He's a pliable guy that can, you know, fit in any hole, square, round, triangle, whatever. He'll do a job for you, and he's just got a bit better quality finish in him, especially in the final third, than others tend to do. So I think we're missing him a lot. Kelly, we're missing a lot as well. You know, he's good for sort of 13, 15 games in a season. We're not getting that out of him this year. And yeah, the tactics, like, oh yeah, I'm no bloody football manager and you've all forgotten more about football than I'll ever know. But just, it's, you know, on paper, we got good cattle. You know, we said not that long ago that we've probably got, as our player list is probably the best that has been in 15 odd years or in my time to support the club. But it's just been utilised, I don't feel. You know, you got Roy going for his rusted on guys, you know, J-Mac, Luca, regardless of their form and invariably fitness as well. Luca's played, what, two and a half good games this year. J-Mac's pretty buggered, you know, 33 now or something. And I just don't think, like, it's just been, I said ages ago, started this season and maybe even last, like, I don't think Roy knows what potentially is the best starting 11 from that squad going forward. And I don't think he's necessarily any closer to working that out yet. He's gone defensively minded and, you know, goes with the old guard that knows roughly what he's going to get out of him. And their form or whatever just doesn't seem to waver with that. He's like, yep, yeah, you're fit. You're going to go there. You're going to go there. And then, you know, I just think, yeah, the same, like, you know, get squeezed all the juice out of the lemon. I think there's heaps of juice left in the Palace squad lemon, and Roy just doesn't know how to get another drop out of it, really, in my opinion. And like I said, I'm not going to sit there and go, yep, bang, that's your starting 11. Here's that player and that player. But, yeah, it's got to change, man. Like, you know, it's just Parrish said ages ago, and we don't hear from him anymore either. He used to come out and say this and that. Haven't heard anything from him in ages. He used to go on the odd pod and stuff. Haven't heard from him in a while. And, you know, he said, you know, if in this league, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. And when were we necessarily going forward as a club lately? You know, you look at Leicester, West Ham, Villa, you know, teams that were on the verge of relegation or got relegated, come back. You know, won the fucking league, going to Europe, hitting fine form. We made a cup final and we got a Cat 1 Academy and some nice fucking artist impressions of a stand at Selhurst Park. Like, is that enough in 7 years of top flight footy? I'd argue no. I mean, the cup final was enjoyable for 90-odd seconds, but other than that, yeah, I'm fucking, where's all the coin? Where's the money? Where's the investment? Where's the go forward? Where's the leadership? Where's the business savvy nous from Parrish? It's all on the fucking silent and down there, mate. So what's going on, you know?
Some very good points. Like, what have we got to show for it? The Cat 1 Academy there. I kind of want to come back to your Vinny G thing, and I do take some of your points that sometimes he does look a bit flappy, like he does punch, he doesn't catch. It would be nice to see him catch it occasionally. I'm not a goalkeeper, so I'm not going to turn around and criticise that type of stuff, because I just don't know. But I don't think he can help that we have a different centre-back pairing pretty much every week, right? So when Stan and Cahill were there, they want to put the head in everything, so he doesn't come for it. So then you've got Cuyata, who started the season like a house on fire, and then along with most things, Palace has fallen off a cliff defensively. You say that we would have crucified Hennessy for some of the stuff that Kuwait has done. Well, Christ, can you imagine what you boys would be saying about Saka if he'd been making the mistakes that Dan and Kuyate have been making?
Well, I'd like to criticise Kuyate in the same way almost now that we were talking about Saka, because he's become an absolute liability too.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know that helps as a goalkeeper.
I feel sorry for Kuyate. Because there's no way he turned around and put his hand up and said, I want to play centre-back. when, let's be honest, we need his energy and physicality in centre mid.
Agreed. Agreed. Like,
and Mike Lilly is sitting on a bench every week.
That's another head scratcher, right? That's another head scratcher. And I'm not, this is not me trying to have a go at Chiara, but just saying this is what's happening. And if you're a goalkeeper and you're like, well, who have I got playing in front of me this week? Yes, he should be more assertive at times. Like the first goal on Saturday, he just comes out, barrels people out of the way and catches the ball. Who gives a shit? Run through Gary Cahill. Gary Cahill will take it. That's happened to Gary Cahill, I assume, many a time in his career. But I mean, look, when we had a settled back two of Sacco and Tompkins a couple of seasons ago, with Guaita behind it, we didn't see goals. We just didn't. Guaita knew what they were going to do. They knew what he was going to do. This year, it's just all up in the air. It's a different back four every time, and that can't help the goalkeeper.
I'll agree that it can't help the goalkeeper, but I think what you also need to remember about that season a couple of years ago is Guaita was new to the league, so people didn't necessarily understand that what his weaknesses are. You've got to be able to see a player. But in terms of the, you know, I'm not saying that Guaita is to blame for every goal that we can see. Far from it. Not having that settled back four 100% doesn't help. 100%. That comment is spot on. But what I'm talking about are basic technical goalkeeping errors from the perspective of, it doesn't matter who your back four is. If a cross comes in, the back four should stop the crosses coming in. If a cross comes in and you're a goalkeeper and it's inside the 6-yard box, you catch it. That's got nothing to do with the back four, whether you're playing 4-4-2, whether you're playing 4-2-3-1, whether your manager's got a big nose, it's all irrelevant. If the ball comes in the air as a goalkeeper, you catch it. That's your job. And the number of times that he doesn't do that and it drops to ground and creates opportunities for the other team to just try and poke something towards goal, you sit there and you go, I'd like to see him do more to ease that pressure, because our players and the system that we play and the manager that we have, we invite more than enough pressure on ourselves already without needing to add extra, which can super easily just, like I say, you watch
it. Just want to move on from the Guaita one. Last couple of bits and we'll move on. One, that's probably one of the reasons he's playing for Palace, that we got him.
True.
And two, when he first came to the league, I remember a few pundits and stuff saying on other podcasts, this is what De Gea used to be like when De Gea first came to the league. He would flap a little bit.
De Gea was 21, Guaita's 31.
But De Gea and Guaita's played in the Spanish league his whole career. So he's come to a new league, more physical. So again, I'm just saying that the comparisons were being made, right? The other thing I'll say in defence of Guaita is that, yes, look, I agree with you. If he's in the 6-yard box, he should be taking it. But how many times, if it's just outside the 6-yard box or the headers they've scored from set pieces, has the person that scored it been unmarked? I mean, let's go to Leeds game for a second. The bloke missed two headers that he should have scored.
Correct. But your goalkeeper, I'm not excusing the defending. The defending's horrible. Like, if the goalkeeper doesn't come for it, the defender has to deal with it. Like, that's just, you know, that's your job as a defender. You stop the ball going in the goals and you mark your players and you stop them from getting free attempts on goal. 100%. But it's one of those ones where it doesn't look like it's the goalkeeper's fault, because he sat there as a free header and it's not 100% the goalkeeper's fault. But you look at the better goalkeepers, those players that have free headers 6 yards out from goal don't have a free header. And it's not necessarily because the defender's not lost them. It's because the goalkeeper's come out and taken the ball off the head. And we don't have a player that does that who just relieves the pressure. And like I say, it's not necessarily a case of proper criticism of Vinny. It's a case of just needs to be able to, if he could relieve pressure, I think as a team we'd be much, much better off.
All right, so I think we've covered off Vinny G, but I don't see him being replaced as Palace number one anytime soon. Obviously, we've got a ready-made replacement now, hopefully, in Jack Butland. I mean, do I want to see him given a go? No, I want to keep Guaita in goal. But there's certainly, obviously, some eyebrows being raised there. One other player I want to kind of... We've kind of touched upon Ayew and Luca being and Jimmy Mack, like, just always playing no matter what. I mean, that's a Roy thing. I think we've done that one to death as well a little bit. But I just want to, I do think I want to, and I know Dale loves this guy. I mentioned it, but I want to know, understand the thinking behind this is a certain Dutch left back goes by the name of Patrick Van Aanholt. Now, I just want to go to the third goal on Saturday for a second. As a man that's played a reasonable level of rugby and some park rugby, and you know, and obviously playing a bit of football as well, having seen a professional footballer fall down like that when someone sneezes as they run past him is unbelievable. The amount of times he shirks a physical confrontation is incredible. What is Roy thinking playing him over Mitchell? Mitchell has proven himself time and again to be a better left back. And I do believe, having watched Mitchell more as he plays, he's not at the Patrick Van Aanholt levels of going forward yet, but I don't think Patrick Van Aanholt has been that fantastic going forward this season either. But I believe he's getting a lot better going forward, and he links up nicely with Wilf. So why the hell do we play Patrick Van Aanholt? Considering the geezer's coming out, he's going to be out of contract. There's no chance we're giving him a new contract, I wouldn't have thought. So what's the point in playing him? It's that, and then that same sentiment, the contract thing is for Benteke and Batshuayi. Why are we playing both of them? We've got Mateta here for 18 months. Boom. I'll go to Dale, because I know you're a massive fan of Van Aanholt. So what's the thinking behind that? Why is he doing this?
He's got pictures of Roy in the shower. Simple. Seriously, I mean, I have said it for a long time that the guy is no good as a left back. I had an argument on Facebook a while back. Some Palace fans having a go at me because I said if I was like, I said he should never be playing for Holland. And now I was saying, no, Roy, if you pick Daley Blind, like, well, because the man can defend. Like, if you're playing him as a left back, because Daley Blind can defend and isn't too shoddy going forward. But, you know, I mean, anyone is a better defender than him at the moment. Joel Ward did a whole season pretty much for us as a left back. Put him there. Martin Kelly won't let us down as a left back. Put him there. Tyree Mitchell, down to the left back. Put him there. The future of our club is not Patrick Van Aanholt. And if he wants to try and play for a foul and get made to look like an absolute fool, like he did against Burnley, and that's not taken away from Matt Loughton, because, you know, brilliant goal. But Van Aanholt, if you're going to get in the way, at least foul the geezer. Win the ball, foul the geezer. Don't just fall over like that. I don't know why it's keeping being picked. Week in, week out, we have a joke about, oh, yeah, look, another goal down his side. Or where, you know, is it on Twitter? They have...
Yeah, the worst Van Aanholt. It's fantastic. What a thrill. What a place Twitter is.
that says it all, doesn't it? Like, it baffles me. It really does baffle me. And there are a number of players, as we said, who continually get picked, and a number of players who continually do not get picked, which is, again, just... It is interesting, let's put it that way.
Because, like, Mark, I'll come to you in just a sec. Because the physical thing where he just... When, like, someone, like as I said, sneezingly fell over, he did the same to it with Antonio, I believe. Was it last season or the season before? From a free kick away, the ball kind of got flipped over the top.
Mate, I reckon the Undertaker would have to bounce up Antonio at least.
No, he's just shit scared of it. He's just shit scared of it.
In fairness, I'd be shit scared of Antonio too.
Yeah, he's a big old unit.
He's a big boy.
Well, he's a big old unit, but so is Christian Benteke. But he doesn't seem to barrel anyone over. So
yes, well, he does. Mostly Patrick Van Aanholt.
Just barrels himself over, if anything. But, like, you know, you look at... Yeah, nah, he's just bollocks. But anyway, Mark, what's your thoughts about a marauding Dutch? I don't even want to call him a left back, really, like left-sided player.
Yeah, well, first off, you shouldn't fucking care remotely the size of Antonio, because it's not fucking rugby, mate. Get in there and put a shift in. I can't work out how he's still getting his gig, because, you know, Mitchell, he got injured. Mitchell came in, and by, you know, everyone's standards, did a job and did well, and the general consensus was, well, it's his shirt to lose now. And then 2 weeks later, he's on the pine and PVA's back doing his marauding best. And I don't know, like, we all kind of thought for a bit there, Yeah, defensively, you know, probably on par, but PBA's got the go forward and that sort of thing. When was the last time he scored a goal? Like, you know, he constantly does that, found out a position, and then, you know, it's up to the bloody, the 56-year-old legs of Kale and co to go and fill in the gaps. Yeah, Mitchell wasn't leaving the holes that PBA does. He's not falling about and just carrying on like a twat. He was doing a job. He's getting better in his go forward week in, week out. So, you know, yeah, like Dale said, he must have some nudes of Roy or, and other people possibly, because it don't make no sense to me.
No. Ned, you're gonna defend Patrick Van Aanholt here?
No, I just love it when Mark goes on rants. It makes my day. Yeah. genuinely makes my day. even when they're rants that I, it doesn't matter what it is, it doesn't matter if it's something I agree with or not. It can be a rant against me and it still makes my day. PVA, I think, yeah, look, at the start of the season, sure. But yeah, he's just, like, it just looks like, he looks like a lost puppy. You know, he's trying to find his home and he doesn't know where it is. The family's moved out. It doesn't make sense to me, that one either. Like I say, it is obviously a case of, I think it's part of Roy's thing from the start of the season where he went, we're going to be more attacking and PVA is more attacking, and just sort of forgetting the whole sort of minor detail about defence. I don't think he's a great one. Going back to your question, Rob, about why are we playing certain players, I think the issue is going to be that some of these people that we want cleared out are going to have to get new contracts because we simply just have too many of them. You can have a rebuild, but you can't literally replace 10 of your starting 11 in a season. It just doesn't work. I think some of these players that we're sitting there going, no, they're not going to offer me a contract. Well, you know, hold on to your hats, because I'd suggest some of them will be. Whether PVA will be one, I don't know. I think someone with a PVA, potentially they would sign up because he, for some inexplicable reason, keeps getting linked to big clubs, which means that he has a sell-on value. And he's not that old. He's one of the few that aren't that old. Obviously, I wouldn't be, I mean, you know, I can't believe that we still got Batshuayi. That's obviously an unbreakable loan, because that seems a complete waste of time. Benteke, to be honest, was probably one that I would re-sign. We know that he can play. I think that's the difference, like we talked about before, in terms of all these other strikers that we've had in. We don't know that. Benteke, we know that he can. And I think, and I mean, even when you see him go and play for Belgium, when someone, admittedly, if Kevin De Bruyne is knocking balls to you, I'd score goals for Belgium. But, you know, he does put the ball in the back of the net, and he says, they go, well, if we had a new manager come in with a rebuild, having that big target man option who can hold the ball up, win headers, you know, as something that you can do, potentially would be something that would be beneficial. There are a lot of other players that you sort of go, yeah, probably wouldn't bother though. And I think they're the ones we have to sort of filter through. But I just think, yeah, playing them now, you got to play someone, and half our squad's injured. But it is a bit concerning that when those players do come back from injury, I'm unconvinced that the ones that potentially shouldn't be in the squad won't be.
Can we play a quick game of keep or get rid of? And these are all the people whose contracts are expiring at the end of the season.
Let's do it. Yeah, one word answers only.
Love a game. Yeah.
One word answers only. No justifications.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Mitchy Batshuayi?
No.
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 No. Jeffrey Schlupp?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Mamadou Sakho?
Nope.
Oh, please. Yes,
all day long.
My hero.
Only if he's quartering his wage.
He's got to go. He's got to go, I'm afraid. Fantastic guy.
Andros Townsend?
Yep. I'm keeping him as a squad player. We need some. Yeah. We need some. We have to have some, and he's not.
No justification, Ned.
No justification,
yep.
Dickhead.
Yeah. Yes.
Christian Benteke. That's Christian Benteke. Patrick Van Aanholt.
No.
No.
No, no. And it might be surprising, he's actually 30. I didn't realise that. Tyreek Mitchell.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. James McCarthy.
No.
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 Nice. 33 or something. We've got to go.
30. Is that 30? Nathaniel Klein.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Doesn't matter what you say, Rob. James McCarthy.
Like that post.
That's three yeses. Yep. James McCarthy.
Yep.
Yes.
Short term.
Yes.
Interesting one. I'll say yes. Joel Ward.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Lozzie Batter.
Yeah, I'll say yeah. I'll say
people yes. Champion.
Just Scott Dan.
No.
Martin Kelly.
Yes.
30.
Yep.
If we need him.
I mean, no.
But probably no. I mean, yeah, can't justify.
Gary Cahill?
Yeah.
Player coach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, and I think everyone in the back of their mind's thinking he won't play, he'll be a coach. Champagne Wayne Hennessy?
No.
No. Stephen Henderson?
Yep. Wait, third choice goalkeeper. You need one.
Yeah, he'll stay.
Yeah. And last, by no means least, Connor Wickham.
Obviously. 5 year minimum.
I'll say yes.
5 year minimum. Yes. How old is he?
On his day, he's brilliant.
27.
On his day,
he's brilliant.
Pay as you play.
This is. It's quite now, expensive.
So on the Wickham one, just quickly. Connor Wickham, by the end of this contract, has been here 6 years, been paid nearly £20 million by the club, has started 26 games in that time and scored 11 goals, an average of fewer than 5 games and 2 goals per season, 800,000 per game, 1.8 million per goal.
Yeah, but one of them was got us through the FA Cup final, Dale, so worth every cent.
Mm. You think I must be feeling well over abused with those figures.
Yeah. Anyway, just quite a nice quick game. Good fun.
Yeah. Cool. So, but look, and just kind of the final thoughts on that is like, this is what worries me about Roy in a way, like, is the fact that he picks PVA over Tyreek Mitchell. He picks Batshuayi, who's clearly not going to be here next season, over Mateta. What's the point in giving Mateta 20 minutes ago to try and do something when you're 3-0 down to Burnley? Pointless. What's the point in starting Mateta up front against Leeds when you're not going to put anyone around him whatsoever? Pointless. And then just so you can drop him. It's like, he's playing players. And I agree with what Ned said. Some of these guys are going to get contracts. I 100% agree with that. But there's some that are not. And why he's playing his players, they're probably not. Batshuayi's PVAs, for example, blows my brain.
PVA, I can sort of understand because at least he's out of contract and someone will have to offer him a contract. It might be us. Batshuayi, 100,000,000%, is not a Palace player next year. Fact.
But PVA won't sign for Palace. Maybe we might want him to on a reduced thing, but if he doesn't sign, he's a free agent and he gets more money plus a signing on fee from the club he goes to.
Yeah, potentially.
Pay him a fee.
Dale, with your people out of contract, you forgot to mention Roy Hodgson.
We're not doing that, mate.
I was just wondering what Rob might have had to say.
Not doing that one.
How long you got? All right, so
we'll open a new Zoom chat at the end.
Yeah, I think we've gone through. I'll just talk to myself, shall I? But we're done there. So let's look before we jump into everything Aussie and Eric up the Mariners. By the way, I went to a parent teacher meeting with, and Matt Simon was in there as well. I didn't have a clue who he was. Got told it was him. There you go.
Wash your mouth. Speaking of
big hulking strikers that probably wouldn't be able to do anything near a job for Palace.
Is a lanky streaker piece? I didn't realise he was, like, someone said to me he's a professional footballer. I'm like, nah, bollocks. It's like Peter Crouch without the ability. Right, so next games. Brighton away. Doesn't really matter home or away, really, because it's all under lock and key, right? So you've got the next five are Brighton, Fulham, Spurs, West Brom, and Everton. Just before that, the Spurs thing with Mourinho, I was right. Told you, it's a match made in hell. Shut that up, you Ned.
Oh, I mean, we'll wait and see. I don't know if you can quite call that yet, but all right.
Yes, it is. It's done. So Brighton, Fulham, Spurs, West Brom, and Everton. So five games there. Honestly, I look at it. I honestly don't see us maybe beating West Brom. I don't see us beating any of the other teams, to be honest with you.
We'll pull out 6 or 7 points because this is what we do.
You reckon out of that we get 6 or 7?
We just do. It's the thing. It's what we do, though, Rob.
I reckon we get one win and a draw.
Mate,
I reckon we get four.
It's what we do. It'll be enough that everyone will... The reality is 6 points are safe, right? And as much as we criticise the players and the club and whatever else, they'll get the 6 points. And they'll most likely get them in this run of matches because they are playing Brighton. And in fairness, they should pick up the performance. They're playing West Brom, which, yeah, they're fighting for their lives, but we're better than them. And this is the caveat, right? The caveat is Wilf. Now that is a caveat. Points are there. We know we'll do it. We've got 29 on the board. We haven't got 29 points on the board because someone just said Crystal Palace get 29 points. We've got it because we do somehow manage to pick out these results. And I think we'll get them, but don't expect to get them in a fun, happy way.
Nah, it'll be dire. We'll fall over against who we should be beaten, and then we'll pull a couple out of the clouds, Spurs, or do the double out of Man U or something.
I mean, Rob, if you just those results that you read out at the start of the pod, if you hadn't watched any Palace games, and someone read you out those results, you would go, yeah, sounds all right for a mid-table club, not horrendous. If you just looked at the results, draw against second place Leicester, draw against Spurs, was it Spurs and Arsenal? I've forgotten who they were.
Arsenal.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a bunch of results in there that aren't horrific.
The list goes on, but...
Yeah. It's the classic... I'll tell you what it is, right? This is the classic... and we're not doing a chat all the way out, but a mate of mine in a group back home texted me and said, after we beat Wolves, do you still want Roy gone? And I said, and I was asleep. And another mate of mine in Singapore, who's a Palace fan, basically made the case of, if you look at just the results, if someone put the results in front of you, you'd go, these guys are doing what they need to do. They are mid-table, they're fine. But if you are a fan and you watch the games every week, it's not great. So it's no different to being a United fan when Mourinho was there, and you finish second in the league and you won the Europa League, everyone would go, what a season. They turned it around. But those who watch the games week in, week out, will say, shit. And it's the same with us. We'll get 6, 7 points. Robert's your father's brother. Job's done. We'll stay up. We won't win a game for the rest of the season thereafter. Done.
Okay, I say this then. Wilf isn't available for any of those five games. You think we're getting 6 or 7?
4 points.
Okay.
Well, certainly hope we win the Fulham game at least, because very much invested interest in that one. Which will be the game we're watching at the national meetup. Robbie's looking a bit amused at that.
Right, I'll be back home by that point. Because it's Sunday night, isn't it?
You're not hanging about for Sunday night. They changed
fixture. I've got kids. I'm lucky I've got the thing. I've got the two nights.
Bring the whole family, mate.
Heartbreaking, mate.
You've got me joking. Bring the whole family.
Not to worry.
I'm sending that audio clip straight to your family there, Rob, by the way.
Go nuts.
Before we move on, I listened to Brian Lara on the Howie Games podcast during the week, which is a great pod. Chat him, obviously, world record testing 400, one of the greatest batsmen ever to wield the willow, and played his last test over in your patch in England. And the first thing when he retired, first thing out his mouth was, "Did I entertain you?" to the crowd over his whole stellar career. That's his first word out of his mouth. "Wanted to know, did I entertain you?" And he went on to say, because as a professional athlete, i.e. you're getting paid, that's a job, you're getting big bucks, that is your job. That's what you should be doing. And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that, Brian. And I thought, fuck, the boys in red and blue are failing miserably on that job sheet at the moment. So I just wanted to chuck that in.
You're very right, wasn't it? Let's hope Dale's prediction is correct and we end up with 6 or 7 points. That will be put us safe for the season and we can just cruise through it to the end. All right, so look, we are an Aussie pod, so we always end up with a bit of Aussie stuff. This is where I hand over to our two resident Aussies, talk everything Australian football, A-League, W-League, anything that's going on.
I'd rather just skip this one, to be honest. My team in the A-League is making me look forward to Palace games. Let's put it that way.
How are your girls going, mate?
They're far more entertaining. They had the Melbourne Derby. They won 6-0. Then played the same team again the following week for some unknown reason and managed to lose. So just a pillar of consistency there. And we've got our boys featuring ex Palace player Jacob Butterfield, who would fit right into our current Palace crop. He loves a sideways pass. It doesn't really go anywhere. We are terrible. It's got some reasonable players on paper, but just terrific Melbourne victory. So I look forward to watching us lose 3-0 to Burnley on Saturday nights because it's far more entertaining. Well, at least you can go to the games, though. Fans in the stadium.
That's true. In a bit of homegrown flavour. Brisbane Roar now playing up at Redcliffe at Dolphin Stadium, which is a leisurely 52-minute drive from home. So I thought I'd bench up there on Sunday, being Valentine's Day, and rather than stay at home crying into my pillow, I thought I'll drive up to Redcliffe.
You actually at a professional football match?
Did I go?
Well, I saw your picture on Facebook, and I actually thought you'd just gone to a park game.
Yeah, that was Brisbane Roar versus Newcastle Jets at the Redcliffe.
Did you not think there were a few too many people there, Rob, for a park? For a park game.
I honestly thought you'd gone around the corner and looked at an NPL game or something. I didn't realise it's actually Brisbane Roar.
Mate, it's no Suncorp Stadium, that's for sure. But I think there was 7,400 people there. So you put 7,400 people at Suncorp, looks like we came in three cars. So they moved out there, atmosphere was all right. Thrilling nil all, so worth the drive on a Sunday.
I wish my team could draw nil all, Mark. Like that's the dream. That was the highlight of our season. That was one of the highlights of our season so far. Was our nil-all draw, which gave us our fourth point.
Clean sheet, loving that. So a bit of a tussle at the moment between might have Brisbane Roar and Rob's Central Coast Mariners.
You've got to get to some games, Rob.
I just talked to Matt Simon,
who's across the room from. Probably some of the biggest news lately with an Aussie flavour is Matt Ryan getting to play for Arsenal, which was his boyhood club. And he went out there. I think he might have had a look at Crystal Palace's job sheet as well because he conceded after 74 seconds. So poor old Matty didn't let another one in, but yeah, they lost that game. So that's a bit exciting. Obviously, cut from Brighton.
I would also just on top of that, Mark, did you hear his comments about Brighton during the week? It was spectacular. He's already cut ties. It was fantastic. Straight away, he was like, I only went there as a to try and get somewhere for you. Just absolutely was there for however many years. The fans loved him, and he's just gone, nah, don't care, I'm out, bye, see you later. As an Aussie who doesn't like Brighton, I enjoyed a lot.
I'm just happy that players in the Premier League don't all now just play for Brighton and Brighton alone. So, obviously, Aaron Moy went over to China and Matty had gone to Arsenal. So, wish him well there. Obviously, gone into the number two, but we'll see what happens. Sam Kerr, obviously, over there with Chelsea, going well. She's sitting on 11 goals for the season. Doing pretty well, and at home here, Gelnick has been absolutely on fire for the Royal Women's. Scored a brace the other day. We fronted up against an undefeated Sydney, rolled them 4-1 at their patch. So the girls are flying, the boys are right behind Rob Salter's Central Coast Mariners. Don't have much more of an Aussie rap at the moment. A great deal going on.
I've just realised, Mark, that we've both missed probably the biggest news story in Australian football, and that is the signing for the Western Sydney Wanderers of ex-Palace hero Jordan Much. Gone from stealing a living in Canada to stealing a living in Australia. So I don't know if he's gotten on the park yet. He might have. I haven't played Wanderers games, but he obviously had to do his quarantine stuff. I think he's just about out of that. So I don't know if he's back to fitness and playing yet, but there will be an opportunity, and particularly
get
Rob
him on the pod. Get him on the pod.
Rob, I'm just going to put it out there, mate. Considering that you support your local A-League team has the smallest crowd of any of our other local A-League teams, you are in the best position of any of us to get down, and so you have two choices. One, explain to him. Just yell abuse at him for a solid 90 minutes, or two, get him on the pod. They're your choices.
Can you imagine getting Jordan Much on the pod? He'll have nothing good to say about Palace. Him and Darcy Blake.
Well, hang on a minute. If he's got nothing good to say about Palace, Rob, he'll fit right in with you.
Well, also,
we've got Ned, which I think you brought up. Paul Eiffel now coaching the Samoan women's team. Is that right?
No, sure, something like that.
There you go.
So is that two ex-Palace players in the A-League now? Butterfield and Much.
I feel like we got more than that, but I can't name more off the top of my head. Obviously, our boy Carl Viet still
running rampant at the
Adelaide coaching job.
Butterfield or the brother of or something like that.
Yeah, you got Jacob Butterfield. I don't know. There's usually some floating around that you forgot I've ever played for Palace because I only played three games and was shit. So,
get right in a victory then.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, before we wrap it up, anyone got anyone for the Carl Vert game or is it Carl Vert?
Carl Vert.
I thought Carl Vert was due.
He's been due every week.
So that's where I was going to go with.
And you were day one this week because he said Calvi at first. All right, so we are a week and a half out from the national meetup, which is now not really a national meetup because there's not many people going because the game's not actually on, nor is anyone allowed to leave their houses, nor can people afford it. So it's just a few of us going down to Hobart. But, you know, if you fancy a last-minute excursion, please come join us. It will be a bit of fun. Jordo's put a bit of a thing together, mostly pub crawls. And if anyone wants to do the cultural stuff, they can do it, but I've got no interest.
Did you say cultural stuff in Hobart?
Yeah, you got the, was it Mona?
Yeah. That's actually fair enough, worth going.
I've been. Didn't see all the fannies, that's what we need to worry about.
Fair enough.
Mark and myself will be down there representing. Hopefully Ned will as well. But it would be great to see as many people down as you can. Maybe we'll pressure Jimmy to try and get a CPFC football match on again. Now I'm out of retirement for Barnstoneworth United over 35s. Yes, you heard that right. Other than that, any more for any more?
I'm good.
Nah, we're all good, mate.
Done.
All right. Dale, go enjoy. What flavour Messina you got?
Mate, but the three specials from the weekend, they are unbelievable.
Three specials? They are
very good. Banana split, chocolatey one, and something else, mate, to die for.
Sounds good. So we won't keep you from that any longer. So Dale, Ned, Mark, thank you. Mark, I shall hopefully be seeing your beautiful face in person in the not too distant future. Ned, fingers crossed for yourself. Other than that, fitters, all there's left to say is thank you very much and up the penis.
Right. Frankie on your bookcase where you dial, like the chick that went on BBC.
Which one?
Oh, I'm convinced that's a Photoshop. There's no way someone doesn't know they've got a monster strap on sitting on their.
Oh, God, yeah. Of course she knows. I do have this out of shot, and I've shown it before.
Is it a monster strap on?
That was a wedding present from a friend. He got it from Papua New Guinea, and he gave it to us at dinner in Potts Point, and we were walking like to get cabs, and it spread out of a box in the middle of Victoria Road. They can imagine people's faces and you see this massive wooden penis.
Hell of an appendage.